Oh, baby, how do you know? All I need is my brother. I say I'm gonna get high. Dr. Dave Gusak, he'll be with us in the first hour talking about his latest book. And many of you know him well for his contributions in this work of art therapy. As an educator, as an author, he is prolific. And then in the second hour, Drew Tillman, our good friend, friend to so many, he'll be with us for the entire second hour of today's show as he brings us some great music and some great stories. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
All right, my friend, once again, we have an opportunity to gather on this occasion when it's our pleasure to bring you some pretty nifty conversations with some pretty nifty peoples like Dave Gusak. So I'll not go too deeply there with you at the moment, but you want to be sure you stay tuned in listening to this good man and his work as an author, as an educator in this whole arena of art therapy. And if there was a theme for today's broadcast, perhaps it would be the productivity of art in its broadest sense, visual, musical, performing. Yeah, because we have Drew Tillman, of course, in the second hour. And I find, too, a similarity in that these two individuals both come with great passion, with great determination, with dedication to their respective tasks, their enterprise, their understanding of why they do what they do. And I think you'll hear that stated very well with Dave Gusak. He's highly respected, and I'm not exaggerating, worldwide. He's well known among those professionals in the field as practitioners and educators both. His books are very well respected for their contributions to the business of educating art therapists. But I have in mind this notion that if we are paying attention to the most important things in life, those contributions that are most significant to us and to one another, to others, well, it happens that our expression of life in art form of some kind, one or another, is not only good for the soul, good for us, it is reflexive. So it gives out and it gives back. You know, there's a breathing in, a breathing out. It so happens that in some traditions, the name of God is referred to as the breath of life. So whenever we're breathing, we're actually pronouncing God's name. What a interesting thought. contributive in many respects to our understanding that the life you and I are living, the lives we share, are particularly precious and unique and unduplicated. It happens, my friend, that you possess, whether you know this or not, I will say in faith, you possess all of the goodness that God has put inside of you for your own life, for your own sake. And in this expression of that goodness, you find opportunity with the people in your circle. Drew Timlin will talk about how his family brings him better in touch with who he really is, right? Challenging, encouraging. So I would find in your circle those people who do just that. How are you being encouraged to be your best self? Which is simply to say, to better understand who you really are. How is it that you go about carrying out the things in your life that are contributive? And don't put a label on that. Just think, okay, this is how I know to do things. This is the way that I make money. This is the job that I have. Okay, that's good. This is how I spend my time with my family, with my friends, with whomever. This is what I enjoy doing. We are living at a time in history where we are so isolated, which is tragically ironic. We have lost the sense of connectedness in many respects, even though we're probably overconnected, right? We are so driven with the technologies about us, within our grasp, there isn't hardly any time for a cessation of that. I mean, there's no rest in that. And it's addictive. You know, it's so possessive of us that we're buried in our phones and our tablets and our computers and our TV screens and our ear pods. And dear Lord, I would encourage you to stay with me for this entire broadcast today. If you're not already listening to us on Moose Magnificat or on 93.3 Real Talk here in Tallahassee, if you're subscribed as a podcast subscriber, if you want to go back to the website and listen there when you have opportunity, great. TallahasseeTalks.com has got every broadcast we have produced, certainly within the last 10 years. We're in our 12th season now. And I just think we're not even touching it, man. We have so much more to experience and learn. So much more that we have opportunity to give, to share, to open up with people who, I mean, we may not know very well at all. But those opportunities are there. Some of them are within your own family. Maybe it's a, you know, cousin or an uncle. Maybe it's somebody that's in your household. Find opportunity. One of the most effective, at least for me, is to simply ask genuine questions. You know, and without any, I guess you'd call it a hidden agenda, just, you know, why do you do what you do? Why do you like doing that? Why is that important to you? What do you care about? Who are the people that you care mostly about? I mean, come on, folks. Is this... But this, as simple as that is in its description, the challenge, I think, is finding those moments that become more and more rare. Heck, we're not sitting at the same table having a meal together. Too often we're pulled apart in different directions. Now, some of you are way ahead of me in this thought, because you're practicing this stuff. And I would, without knowing you personally, I would easily think you're in good shape. You're one of those people that we find contributing to our welfare. Well, you've got that in Dave Gusak, because this guy has dedicated himself to helping other people learn their own craft as art therapists. And you've got the same thing going on with Drew Tillman. He spent his adult life bringing to you these memorable songs, whether he wrote them or whether they are songs that he particularly loves and enjoys playing for us. Well, we're going to have that too in today's broadcast, which we have affectionately named Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
David Gusak is a professor for the Florida State University Graduate Art Therapy Program. He's also the project coordinator for the FSU Florida Department of Corrections Art Therapy in Prisons Program. If you are a first-time listener, well, you're going to want to stay with us through the rest of this hour, because Dr. Gusak has presented extensively internationally and nationally on forensic art therapy and art therapy in forensic settings. Among his numerous journal and chapter publications, he has also authored his own books, including, among others, Art on Trial, Art Therapy for Capital Murder Cases, published by Columbia University Press, and Art and Art Therapy with the Imprisoned, subtitled Recreating Identity, and that was published by Routledge Publishing. He is our guest today, and it is a pleasure to welcome my brother, Dr. David Gusak.
Oh, man, it's great to be here. I was thinking back on this. I think this is my fourth time here.
You are a recurring guest, and we have a very short list. For those uninitiated to the topic of art therapy, we're going to get to that here, particularly in regard to your contributions to the field as an art therapy educator. Mm-hmm. And in your own right, an artist. And I have to reference something that our listeners may or may not be aware of. But you had posted a very tender, I thought, a very personal tribute to an individual who was particularly contributive, you might say instrumental. I think you said instrumental. I don't know if you actually said the word instrumental, but I'm going to say instrumental. In your development as an artist, and this, I think, high school teacher basically said, "Do what you love. Do what you're good at doing." And this wonderful interaction then that goes on.
Yeah, I mean, to give a little bit more context, thank you for bringing that up. I hadn't planned on talking about this because it was one of those posts that I had to write. I had just found out that Jay Polefsky had passed a couple of weeks before, and I found that out indirectly through a message that was sent to me. And Jay, I had gone to high school many years ago, and I was what you might call an uninvested student. I used to get in trouble a lot, mostly for stupid mistakes, not for anything nefarious. Well, nothing that I got caught about for, but certainly things that I shouldn't have always been doing. But I wasn't exactly invested in my education, except for my art classes. You know, it's the old story. We gravitate towards what we love. And Jay Polefsky was my drawing and painting teacher for a couple of years, different years in high school.
And where was this?
This was in New York. Okay. This was up in, I went to Lakeland High School in Westchester, New York, right near Yorktown. Uh-huh. And he was one of those art teachers that didn't base his work on discipline-based work. It was more of, you're going to be invested in the art. You're going to become part of the art. You're going to enjoy the art. You're going to get something out of it. Mm-hmm. Everyone who comes to my class, as long as you participate, you get an A. So don't worry about the grade. It's not about creating what might be earth-shatteringly great art. Mm-hmm. It's about you creating what you need to create. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting with him in the hallway one time talking, because we used to love talking with him. And it was, you know, his studio and his class was where we can go that would allow us to be who we were. Huh. And it was where I felt the most comfortable. It was where I felt the most welcomed. And I was sitting there speaking with him, and we were trying to discuss what I was going to be doing because I was graduating high school. I didn't really have much of a direction. I wasn't really a strong student, so I didn't know how I was going to get to college. And he says, well, look, you like to interact with people. You like people. You have a way of working with people. You don't really care for doing art itself, but what about using art? Why don't you put it together and become something like, oh, I don't know, like an art therapist? Huh. And I'm like, art therapist? Art therapy? Is that such a thing? He goes, no, I don't think so. I've never heard about it, but you can make it. You can make it be what you want to be and do that. You know, make it work. And all of a sudden I had this direction. I'm like, I could do something with my art. And I got to college and sure enough found out there's this thing called art therapy. Wait a minute. And so I called up Jay Pilewski, and I had stayed in touch with him all these years. But I called him up like within a year or 2 years later and said, guess what? I'm pursuing art therapy. There is such a thing. It does exist. And I'm doing this because of you. And he said, well, of course you're doing it because I told you to. He was so
unabashed.
Oh, my God. He was so funny. And he was brilliant. He quit shortly after. So he retired shortly afterwards because he had done his 20 years because he wanted to pursue his own art and his own work.
Yeah.
But I stayed in contact with him all these years. And he always took such pride in what his students were accomplishing. And so I would go and speak with him or I would call him on the phone. And not only would we talk about what I was doing, he would just be so enthusiastic, but he would tell me about what some of the classmates had done. We're talking 35, 38 years ago, and he's remembering all of this. I last saw him a couple of years ago where I went back to New York and I surprised him by stopping by the shop. And it was like we picked up right where we left off, the same type of bantering. I gave him some books. I had mentioned that story a number of different times in articles and in book chapters about how I found art therapy, and it was because of him. So I blame him for everything that I've done, for ill or for nil. And it was just great to see him. So I had intended on going to New York this fall, like I'll try to do to go see my family, and I had intended to go see him. So I was really, really affected by reading about that and realizing that, boy, it just felt, you know, that the world was less bright and less quirky and less, you know.
Yeah.
It was just so, and I think part of what we take is, you know, I'm an educator now. I've been an educator for 24 years, 20 years here. You know, I was an art therapist for 7 years before that, so I've been in the field for 30 years. But, you know, I think being a therapist and being a good educator is the same thing. You learn to listen, you learn to pay attention, and you learn to be the mirror for what that person needs. And that's what I learned from Jay. And I was reflecting back on Jay, and I remembered him having long, curly hair, okay, and a beard and mustache. Wait a minute. And he would wear these quirky, flowery shirts. Hold it just a moment. The fact that he was 6'2 is besides the point. We were, you know, well, maybe he wasn't that tall. He just looked that tall to me. But I'd like to think that I hopefully had become the type of teacher that Jay was, using the art to connect with people, recognizing the value of connection through the art and through the relationship.
Talking with Dr. David Gusak, our good friend, who has, for his many years, contributed sizably to the welfare of others, like his own mentor. Folks, you stay with me. We've got more with this great guy right after this.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Witten Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or wittenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cern.
We're talking with Dave Gusek. That's really what gets us all messed up, is that we are so locked up into trying to be something that, God help us, none of us are really very good at being.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things that I all my students for 25 years will tell you the same thing, that I use this statement over and over again, and I had this cut out and put over my computer when I was writing my doctoral dissertation. And one of the things that I think is important for us to remember is that perfect is the enemy of good enough. And if we're willing to make those mistakes, you know, demonstrate our limitations, but also how do we overcome those struggles? How do we work through that? Our role as an educator, our role as a therapist, our role as a person who could be present with somebody is valuable, in that we can demonstrate that it's okay to have insecurities and make mistakes. My students know that. I think they would certainly, I think their first reaction when they see me is, this? This is who's going to teach me?
I'm paying for this.
But yeah. Then it's a different realm. I mean, you know, they need to recognize that we connect on so many different levels. And the nice thing is I get to also connect through the art as well, which gives me a nice in.
Well, that is the point, isn't it? That you've done exactly what Jay instructed you to do.
I hope so.
He said, go and do that. Go be that. Yeah. And he said so in a sort of prophetic manner. Did you find out that it was a thing? But you didn't just take that opportunity in hand. You took your role in the field to another level. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to be an art therapist. And then you said, I'm going to be an art therapist, and I'm going to pursue my own art, but I'm also going to move the field, the education of.
I hope so.
And you're doing that continuously. You've written how many books? Last count, 10, 20?
My sixth book is coming out next year. It's my last book. And I'm saying this on air because nobody believes me when I say this.
I don't believe you.
Sixth and final book.
I'm not believing you
year.
Now.
It's true.
No, you're lying.
Because I hate writing.
Yeah,
I do.
And that's unfortunate because you're very good at that.
No, I appreciate that. I'm compelled to write. Yeah. That's why this is my last book. I've got nothing else to say. But I'm glad. I appreciate you saying that. I'm gratified to hear you say that. Mm. That we're elevating the field. And I've chosen a particular niche. I mean, I focus on art therapy in prisons. I focus on art therapy in corrections and in forensics. And I've been, well, we make our own luck. So it's being tenacious and putting yourself out there, taking the risks, allowing people to chop your head off because your neck is up a little too high. You know, and you put yourself out there. And by that, I mean the organizations and systems that we become a part of. You know, the fact that it's taken me, here's a little story. I was getting some paperwork signed. We had just taken 20 months to negotiate the contract between Florida State University and Florida Department of Correction. I had just stepped down as chair of the department. You know, administration abhors a vacuum. And so immediately I started working with the Department of Corrections to develop this contract. And it took about 18 to 20 months to develop it. I was in the process of hiring two art therapists for the full-time positions to work in, at that time, the four prisons. And I had gotten an administrator to sign some paperwork. And I went back to him and said, thank you for signing that. It was like 2 or 3 weeks later. Thank you for signing that. We've just gone ahead and offered the jobs to those two art therapists. And he said, wow, that was fast. And I said, yeah, it's only taken me 20 years to get here. You know, it's nobody sees all the efforts and all the research that happens. But I'm also happy that they're seeing that work happening. It's that they're, you know, we're allowing this opportunity for other people to put themselves out there and do the work.
Indeed. You know? The reality is that for any of us who are listening to you right now and say, God, you know, I'm no artist. I can't even draw a straight line.
No one asked you to.
I mean, that's true. And there isn't a paycheck associated with that, so we're all good here. You're talking about the 20 years. Whether it's true or not, it's attributed to Picasso having said, yeah, you know, I drew this little thing on the napkin, the story, and she says, well, how much, you know, $30,000 for this little napkin drawing. And she's like, whoa, wait a minute. You did that in like 2 minutes. Yeah, but it took me 40 years to figure out how to do it.
You're paying
for
the 40 years.
Exactly. Right. So we should be advised that whether or not we find ourselves particularly, we'll say, talented, we can identify with you in as much as we have certain gifts and talents of some kind. You know, with me, it's my mouth. I know how to talk.
Yes.
And I talk at length, and my family suffers under this constantly. And so it's like, is Dad going to be there today? Okay, so let him know I can't. I just can't. I can't go through another day of this. But given that, I find it more interesting to help other people talk about what they do.
I think there's something to that. I think giving other people a voice, you're giving me a voice to get my message out. I think one of the important things that's coming out of this new prison program is we've just expanded it. So I want to get this in there.
Please.
We've just expanded the program. I've just hired two new art therapists to meet the needs of 9 prison settings in
all
the state
in Florida.
Of Florida. All in Florida. Wow. It's amazing. We're working with the Department of Corrections educational programming to bring these opportunities for special education. Those inmates, youthful offenders, and in special education systems to work through the and mitigate some of the obstacles that are in the way and helping remove those so that they can then succeed. But what I think is so valuable is I'm part of a team of these art therapists, and as we write, as we publish, as we present, it's so important that I'm saying, look, put your names out there. Let's get you out there. We've got to spread this message, and I'm helping them do that. Now, I'm not saying I have any special talent, and I don't think I have a talent. I have a
heart.
Maybe heart, maybe a tenacity, maybe a stubbornness.
I think heart is 99% of any endeavor. And it's what you said. Well, you know, I kept at this thing for 20 years, and lo and behold, actually, you know, I got it to work. Yeah. Imagine what you can do in the next 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. I'm helping them the next 20 years. I mean, you say that, and what I'm picturing is that these are the art therapists all over the country that are spreading this work. When I started, when I did my first presentation about art therapy in prisons in 94 in the Chicago Art Therapy Conference, there weren't that many art therapists in prisons. And over the years, you know, it's been expanding. There's a lot of us out there across the states.
And what a remarkable and how, it seems to me, appropriate opportunity for art therapy in that kind of setting. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this here a minute ago. We get locked up inside of this world that we have been, that's been constructed for us. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, the foundation was laid and we've built that castle up now where perfection is demanded of me at all times, impossible to achieve. Oh, and by the way, if I had a parent or parents who made sure that I was punished severely for every infraction, that is a nightmarish scenario. And you walk in, figuratively speaking, and sometimes literally, but you're, as an art therapist, giving me opportunity to find that voice visually that I can't otherwise demonstrate for you.
That's key, because you're talking about an environment where any type of disclosure of vulnerability and weakness is taken advantage of, either by the system or by the others that are in those groups or sessions or overhear this. And we allow an opportunity to work behind that mask to create a, you know, rebuild a healthier ego, a healthier sense of self. And what's more is you're talking about an environment where they own those labels that are put on them to the point that they can't succeed when they get out.
Right.
The recidivism is so prominent because they hold on to that label of this is an inmate, this is a convict, not this is a person that made a mistake.
Absolutely.
The whole point is the system doesn't accept who they are as people, but when they create an art piece and then you accept that art piece from them, that art piece being an extension of them, you're beginning the process of accepting who they are. We build upon that. I'm not saying it's a transformation automatically. I'm not saying it's going to be a miracle, but we begin the process through a healthy social interaction using the art as a catalyst for connection.
It's called art therapy, and we have one of the best in the field, an educator who has devoted his life to the advancement of other art therapists and the field in general. Dr. David Gossack is our guest. You stay with me. We've got a little bit more time with this guy. He's got to go to like a symposium or something. I don't know. It's important, but you stay with me. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Dave Gossack. You're talking about those incarcerated who are looking for some way of getting out and getting past, and you're talking about recidivism. I had a very good friend years ago who'd been in prison on two occasions, repeat offender, and he said to me on his, after he had completed his second sentence, and he'd been in for about 5 years and he had just gotten out, and I went to see him, he said, every con says the most frightening thing is how do I stay out? Mm-hmm. They come out knowing that the chances are
the cards are stacked against them.
Against them. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at this particular application of art therapy in a setting that otherwise tells them, and you said this better than I'm saying it, that they don't belong outside. They belong here.
In some ways, and that's an overgeneralization. I certainly get an opportunity to work with great colleagues inside, other correctional staff. Certainly, I wouldn't be there if they didn't believe that, right? Because they're bringing us in to make these changes. I'm working with some wonderful people at the Department of Corrections, like Anna Schubarth and Melvin Herring, who believe in these things. And we work with social workers and educators and counselors who do believe in this. But we're a small group. And we're bucking up against a system that's been in place for many years.
That's what I'm pointing at, is that system.
But my role is to go in there and say, look, all of us can, you know, we're going to be stronger together or not succeed at all. And the art helps bind people together. It helps connect people. It humanizes them. You're talking about a place where they're overly objectified and dehumanized and marginalized in order to control them. And our role, by using the art process, demarginalizes them, it de-objectifies them, and it rehumanizes them.
Yeah.
You know?
And in that respect, I'm going to broaden our conversation just a bit.
Please.
I took an art appreciation course in my undergraduate studies, Seattle University. Mm-hmm. But I had to do a project. You know what I did? I made them crepes. I got an A on that project.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You feed the teacher. I don't care.
And I serve everybody.
High school or college, you feed the teacher. You're getting that A. Let that be a lesson to all of you who take my future
classes. Yeah.
But
you bring me food.
But here's the thing, and this may sound like a cliche. Perhaps it isn't. You know, ultimately, I want this world to put me out of a job.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
I think I may be in the only profession where I'm trying to work my way out of a job.
And by the way, if that happens, you and I will do our own radio show together.
I think we should. I think we should do.
It'd be great.
Yeah, we'll be the modern day Tallahassee version.
It'll be Jew and Jewish.
That's right. Ishy. But I think that, you know, you want to put me out of a job? Bring the arts back to school.
Right.
Let everybody invest it at all levels and let people connect with who they are and really identify a sense of self and amongst others and with others. Art is what's going to do that. I believe that. Words are visual.
Yeah.
Words emerge out of visual symbols.
Yeah.
The letter A comes out of the oxen, right? I mean, it's the upside down ox that came from the word Aries, right? I mean, each letter has its own pictorial meaning, and that's how we learn, is through pictures. When we learn to read, it's we're learning how to read pictures.
Indeed. When you consider this broader...
I went off in a completely different
direction. Well, I know, that's cool. We're just having fun. But when you consider not just the contributions that art makes to us individually, when we are looking at the role of art in modern culture, okay, and we talk about how we are able to reflect upon who we are as a people. And I try to bring that back here locally when I look at people like Randy and Debbie Breenan.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me better appreciate, is that really who we are? Is that how I look to the outside world?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the role that art plays for us, what we contribute to the role of art in culture, mm-hmm. and what it contributes to us. I'm just teeing that up there for you, because I want to hear.
That's a great question, and you know what? Unbeknownst to this conversation, what you've just done is you've set me up to talk about the next and final book.
Perfect.
And this
book you don't want to write, but you're going to have
to. It's done. It's now done,
okay.
And it's in pre-production with Oxford University Press.
Yes,
and it's called The Frenzied Dance of Art and Violence.
Wow.
And the book is based on the interrelationship that exists between art and violent expression, violent personas, violent environments. And the book is it's not an art therapy book, but it took an art therapist to write it, is the way it was presented to me. And it includes 85 images, including works by Caravaggio and Cellini and Dali and Pollock and Richard Dadd and Van Nath and Bill Traylor and Norman Rockwell, believe it or not, and who certainly illustrated his own violent surroundings of what was going on during, during the 60s and 70s. And, you know, all of them, and also I have a couple of chapters on the art of serial killers, which threw the whole book into a whole different realm.
It skewed a little bit differently.
It skewed everything because they didn't figure into the equation, but with them removed, the whole notion is art gets fed by aggressive drives and violence, so to speak. I mean, there's violent explosions that occur in our work, violent need to express ourselves. It also allows us to mitigate and turn aside violence and rechannel it and sublimate it. So while it's fed from these types of energies, it also helps mitigate it and turn it aside.
Remarkable. This is tragic. This is the moment at which I begin to tear up. Because we have to say goodbye.
I know.
I know. I know.
I just sat down.
You just got here.
I'm gonna go do a piece of art now.
I mean, well, you know that is. I know you're humoring me.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No,
not
but
out
at the
loud.
Same time,
not in front of you.
Not in front of me. But at the same time, that speaks to what I often think is missing in our daily lives, that we don't give ourselves opportunity for expression. Yeah. Now, okay. Of late, I'm into landscaping. Okay, so I'm out there just busting my tail, building stuff and putting up block walls and putting in ponds and all this kind of stuff. And I just work myself until I can't even walk. But I'm telling you, I feel great afterwards. And I'm not beating my dog anymore, which is a helpful sign.
That scares me. But
my dog really appreciates the fact that...
You're manifesting a visual image. Yeah. I mean, you're creating something.
Expression.
And it's taking energy. And if you didn't have an aggressive drive to do that, it wouldn't succeed.
Well, folks, I am so glad we did.
Oh, this is a blast.
We did get this opportunity. It's been too long.
It has been.
And we didn't even get to talk about all the different places you're going to be around the world. And
you've got symposiums.
And you got he's a keynote speaker for the. Do yourself a favor. Do this. Go to any place online. He's all over the internet. If you want to just Google Dave Gussack, and it's Gussak, be on the lookout for this next final book that he has composed. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to the next opportunity that you and I will have to talk further, right?
We will definitely do that.
Right. Our good friend and the friend of many, David Gussack.
Thank you.
And... You take care, my friend. Good to have you with us. So there you have a conversation with Dr. David Gussack talking about his upcoming book. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour.
Whidden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Whidden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Whidden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Whidden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Stay prepared for severe weather all year long. Have a plan. Have what you need on hand. Stay in touch with important information. And know the service providers you can trust. Hello, I'm Brian Cerny. Tallahassee Prepared was created to keep you and I informed and prepared for severe weather 365. Go to TallahasseePrepared.com. It's there for you 24/7 because staying prepared is more than a season. It's an attitude. Learn for yourself at TallahasseePrepared.com.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, always available to you online, tallahasseetalks.com. And here we are, streaming on Moose Magnificat Radio, all local, all original, all the time. That is moosemagnificat.com, Tallahassee's only station bringing you that original sound. We call it the sound of Tallahassee, okay, sincerely enough. We are what we are. And Moose Magnificat carries on now. We're in, I think, 5 years of this remarkable adventure as we have gathered the songs of over 1,000 or so artists that have done just that. They've brought us their original tunes, and Drew Tillman is one of those. You can hear his music on Moose all the time. But people like Taller Trees and Scotty Barnhart, golly, it goes on and on. You get my point. We got a lot of folks that are bringing us some really good music. All the stuff that Scooter Price has been doing lately, and we're having a good time with those guys. Yeah, but I think what I'm trying to say here is simply, don't cut yourself out of the action. Give yourself the opportunity to really listen in on what local music is all about. Not an exaggeration at all to say that our most defining characteristic is the diversity of background and style and, you know, genre and all that sort of thing. So we're not a blues or jazz or a rock or a country town. We're yes. Yes, and all of the above. And our commitment is to make sure that it's all represented well. So we encourage you to tune in by going to moosemagnificat.com. You can subscribe there as a patron of the station. Did you know this? If you commit as a patron on our Patreon account, our supporters, go to Patreon. There's a link for it right on the website. So go to moosemagnificat.com and then hit support, and it'll take you right to the Patreon account. That's cool. $5. $5 a month will pay for 2.5 hours a month on Moose, and you have options there. You can designate a dollar amount. You can go 5, 10, 100, whatever you want to do. We have some really nifty Moose merch for your good, tote bags and mugs and all the customary kind of things, stickers, T-shirts, yeah. And those are all given to you as our way of saying thanks. Thanks for supporting the Moose. So you need me to say that again? Huh? You got it? MooseMagnificat.com. Support. Make your commitment as a patron at Patreon. I have difficulty with that. And, you know, go as far and as wide and as big and as whatever you can in making contribution. It certainly takes the pressure off of us in trying to cover all of the costs involved with bringing you this unique, one-of-a-kind, one-in-the-world radio station. Isn't that cool? What else do I want to share with you? We are now in, I think, week 7 of our Tallahassee Prepared campaign. Recall, if you will, that we are blessed to have Witt & Glass as our presenting sponsor once again. Tony Kelly, Heating and Air Conditioning, helping us out there. We need a tree service. We need a construction company, somebody that'll do home repairs and that kind of stuff, landscaping work. We want to be able to refer to these folks on your behalf when you come to the website, TallahasseePrepared.com. So we do a little bit of vetting to make sure the people that we're recommending you trust can be trusted. So if you're listening to this and you're one of those people, or if you know somebody, hey, send us an email, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com, or you can go on Facebook. We're there too, of course, Facebook and Twitter. I think we're on Twitter. Yes, we're on Twitter. LinkedIn, all those places that you would, you know, have it in your social media experiences. The other thing I would point out is that with Prepared, it's a 24/7, 365. You know, think about what we've been through in this last 10, 12 weeks. Goodness. Along with the rest of the country, apparently, we were in this severe pattern of high temps, high humidity. Right. And it's impacting everybody, young or old. But certainly among the elderly or the more vulnerable, you can't be out in that stuff. So Prepared is there to say it's not just about hurricanes. No, it's about sunscreen and staying out of intense heat for long periods of time, and you know, making sure you're hydrated, drinking water. My goodness. Right? Staying prepared for severe weather throughout the year. That is the mission of Tallahassee Prepared, courtesy of Wood and Glass and Tony Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning. What else do I want to share with you? You know, it happens that when we look at the creative process in our own lives, and you may think of yourself and think, oh, well, I'm no creative. I'm not an artist I'm not a musician or a sculptor. I do my job, and I take care of my business or whatever I do. But I would encourage you to consider how within each of us there is intuitively a relationship between our discovery of life, our discovery of things around us and within us, the interpretation of that, how we bring it in and then make sense of it, and then how we go about applying that in practical ways that make my life, your life better, or the lives of others who we're connected to, how we contribute then. And then I think finally, how we go about learning from all of that. So it's the discovery, it's the understanding, it's the application, the contribution, and then it's understanding more the why. So when you think of, let's say, of art, and science and engineering and design. For me, that's a kind of a continuous process. You know, how do I discover the world? What does it mean to experience someone else's discoveries? How do I discover for myself what is really going on here? And if that's in a social context, if it's in a relationship that I have with somebody, if it's my own mental awareness, you know, being self-critical, it's a kind of exploration. It is that discovery. And I see that as the role of art in many respects. It's designed to get us to question, to ask questions. Sometimes art will answer questions for us, I suppose, but more often it's about getting us to ask questions. The scientific part of us is that analytical, that critical thinking. You know, why do I behave this way? Or if that is true, why is it true? Or how can it be true? And is it true for everybody? Is it true at all times? So there's that, not just the posing of the question, but then the consideration of how the question may be influential. It's provocative. It moves us in a direction, right? And then comes the ability to, to apply whatever understanding I've garnered from my own self-awareness and my discovery of the world around me, the people around me. So how do I apply that in my business, in my family, in whatever craftiness I have? You see, here again, Drew is going to bring that to you, and we talk with him here in just a minute about his music and his life. And then finally, then this business of design, which is then bringing us full circle, in which it really helps us better appreciate why any of what we do is really significant, is really important, and is really worthwhile.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merrymaids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merrymaids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merrymaids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merrymaids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, biweekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Drew Tillman is not only a personal friend, he is a friend to this town and a friend to people arguably all over the country and around the world. The man has devoted his life to being honest. And as a songwriter, as a performer, as a singer, a guitarist, as a man who was the centerpiece for 911, very entertaining band and other works, he has endeavored to maintain that honesty with us. And so when you are listening to Drew Tillman and his music, and in whatever fashion you find that, if it's in a band or if it's solo, wherever he may be, you have the confidence of knowing that you're getting the real deal. You're getting the presentation of the man in a way that is really unvarnished and unabashed, unapologetic, just laying it out there. He's great at bringing some classics to us in his own styling, but he is the only local singer-songwriter to be invited to appear at the legendary 30A Songwriters Festival. And so it happens that it is our pleasure when we have the opportunity to have Drew with us here in studio. And it is on this occasion that I want to say welcome, Drew Tillman, to our show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Now you're allowed to speak. Okay. Going forward. But when the host is talking.
Right. Shut up.
There's etiquette here, man.
No,
The one moment I have to myself. That's it. And everything that I'm saying about you is just exactly how I see you, how I experience you, have experienced you over the years that we've known each other and the many times you've been on the show, the many performances that we have shared and, you know, all around. And knowing you and your family, it's a pleasure. Because I'm going to keep preaching here, but at the same moment, I'll say because of this rarity, there is a need, I think, for us to have more genuine, more honest, more open performances and music and art and literature and such.
Yeah,
you're one of those people that I treasure for that reason.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing. As far as
maybe that's what it is, because see, I identify.
I think one of my big thought came to me when you were talking was, it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is what did you do? Did you help? Did you give your heart to the audience? Mm. Did you do your job the way you're supposed to? I just learned time and time again that if my heart is engaged, the song is better for me. I'm not real technical as far as, I can execute. Don't get me wrong.
You're a great technician.
I can, but
I hear that.
I always try to find the space for the song.
Right.
So, and then it goes better. I And I noticed that audiences respond.
From one time to the next, too, I would imagine, because this has been my experience with you. Any genuine performer, I use that word very carefully, but in any performance, in studio, on stage, it's difficult for you to be other than who you are. And I think that that is probably what I'm pointing to.
Well, you know, I think God gave me a voice that can do certain things, and there, and I hope I use it to my fullest ability.
There's a nice segue, because I want to hear this song that you have recorded for us today, if you will, Cry Yourself a River.
Okay.
One of my faves that you have done for us. And so, folks, let's take a moment and listen. Drew Tillman, Cry Yourself a River.
Cry yourself a little river. Don't hesitate to call it blue. I believe I got myself a good one. How I paid the price for you. Cry yourself a river, don't hesitate. Beg for forgiveness until you pray. Your medicine, it don't quite deliver. I say cry, cry, cry yourself a river. Persuaded by a force of nature, little fly in a Venus trap. It seemed all the planets were aligning. The signs don't tell you where it's at. My past is chasing me, I hesitate. And I feel the future, well, it's always been that way. Your medicine, it don't quite deliver. I say cry, cry, cry yourself a river. A river. You know I made myself a little promise, one I know I'll never keep. If you dance in the devil's trouble, what you sow, boy, is what you reap. About those nine planets. Well, now they say there's only eight. They told me about the heart of a woman. They never said my heart would break. Cry yourself a river, don't hesitate. Beg for forgiveness until you pray. Your medicine, it don't quite deliver. I say cry, cry, cry yourself a river. A river.
Stay prepared for severe weather all year long. Have a plan. Have what you need on hand. Stay in touch with important information. And know the service providers you can trust. Hello, I'm Brian Cerny. Tallahassee Prepared was created to keep you and I informed and prepared for severe weather 365. Go to TallahasseePrepared.com. It's there for you 24/7 because staying prepared is more than a season. It's an attitude. Learn for yourself at TallahasseePrepared.com.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
We're back. We're talking with Drew Tillman, who is admittedly one of my famous persons. I have this man crush thing going on. It's a bit embarrassing, I admit, but... it helps me stay honest too when I'm listening to Drew in conversation or in his music, and it reminds me of the things that matter most in life. One of those things for you, Drew, has been your family, and maybe that's the center point of your life, your faith in God, your care for and love for your family, and then your willingness to hang with people like us around town and around the country, where you get to go and be you again.
Yeah.
And you've got that happening this week. You're going to be at where? At Hurricane? Or no, at your...
Yeah, Hurricane.
This will actually air Saturday, so I have to rephrase that.
Okay.
So you were at Hurricanes last night, right?
Right.
That was a great show. And then... you're going to be playing again today down at, where is it? In Appalachian?
At Harry A's on the island, on St. George.
St. George Island at Harry A's.
Yeah.
Okay, so folks, you've got opportunity.
8 to 12.
You want to get down there? Come on, man, let's go. Harry A's, St. George, 8 o'clock tonight. Drew Tillman, 911.
911.
That's and right. Tell us about the it's a trio at this point, isn't
it? It's four of them.
Oh, there's four players. Piece. Who are the players?
Yeah, we have Steve Taff on guitar.
Of course.
We have Richard Tingsted on bass.
Again.
And Perry Nelson on drums.
Oh, man.
And they're just
super
phenomenal.
They are.
People.
They
and
are great
they
people.
Also are amazing musicians. You know, I don't have to worry about anything. And when I make a mistake, and I make mistakes, we all do, but when I do, they get me out of it, you know. When it's 4-4 time and I play 3 instead of 4, they get me out of it. Somehow, I don't know how they do it, but Richard's, like, amazing at that, you know. And
well, we all have a little bit of jazz in us, so that helps, right?
You can do, and, you know, something, we're morphing a little bit. We kind of... let ourselves spread out a little bit on the songs. You know, we'll explore the song and we'll go places. We never play the song same twice. That is true. I mean,
even
I
if
can
you
tell
wanted
you
to,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, I believe that, you know, a music should tell a story and it should say something every time you play it. So if you came to see me the band 3 or 4 times and you hear the same song, they're going to go,
huh.
Yeah. It's different. It's, you know.
Because you're different.
Yeah, because you change, because you're not the same. Yeah, and you're coming from a different place. And you're trying to evoke.
See, to me, that notion, while it's unstated as such, is a very healthy, productive a way of you being as a person, but in as a musician and as 911, you're encouraging us to live in a way that keeps us in the moment. We're looking for, I want it to be exactly the same way every time. Well, that's fast food, man. That's not real life.
Right.
Real life is, it's different every time.
There's
not that it's unrecognizable, but
execution is important, and to do the same things, but in between those things, that's where where you thrive. It's like you live on the edge of disaster at every moment. It's kind of like, race car drivers talk about, they drive the car to the edge of its ability at all moments, every moment. The good one, Formula One racers. And it's the same thing with guitar playing. You're out there on the edge, and my fingers will do something, and I'll go, what did I just do? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But either way, it's the same thing. Steve, our guitar player, would tell you the same thing. Mm. Perry will say the same thing. We do things that are unexpected. Mm. We make stops. We do things. We've been playing together so long, it's almost telepathic between all of us.
Well, there is that connectedness.
And
I mentioned your love of family and your devotion there.
That's an anchor.
That is an anchor. And I would suspect, given the number of years that you and Amelia have been together and the way you've raised your two kids, that same sort of consistency and yet flexibility. Let's approach this every time in a fresh way.
Challenges me to be a better man.
Yeah, yeah.
My family does.
Yes. At times, it helps to have a place where you can shelter.
Yes.
So we're going to take a moment here and have you perform once again for Shelter from the Storm, according to our dear friend, Drew Tillman. Let's take a listen.
This is not an original. 'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood. Blackness was a virtue, and the road was full of mud. Came in from the wilderness, creature void of form. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. But if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I always do my best for her, that I give my word. In a world of steel or death, the men who are fighting to be warm. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from a storm. Not a word was spoke between us, there was little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. Well, I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail. Poison in the bushes, then blown out on the trail. Hunting like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around, she was standing there. Silver bracelets on her wrist and flowers in her hair. Walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. But now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, and I got my signals crossed. just to think that it all began on an uneventful morn. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. Well, the deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. Nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, well, he blows a funeral horn. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. Well, I heard newborn babies wailing like a mourning dove. Old men without teeth, stranded without love. And do I understand your question? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. But in a little hilltop village where they gambled for my clothes, bargained for salvation, and she gave me a lethal dose. Offered up my innocence, and I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm. But I'm living in a foreign country, and I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'm big in mine. If I only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I give you shelter from the storm.
Back, we're talking with Drew Tillman. Just before the break, we were listening to this legendary song, Shelter from the Storm, Bob Dylan. Your take on that tells me that his motivation there is what's he trying
change.
To
change? Yeah, change. He just through the song, he goes through and then his heart becomes engaged where he sees people. I've seen newborn babies wailing like a mourning dove, an old man without teeth, stranded without love. He says this. He sees the world around him, and it gives him a moment where he says, I need to help them. And then right after that, he says, in a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes, a bargain for salvation, and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence. I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. It's a contradiction, but it's real because he's saying, on the one hand, he's saying, now I know what salvation is, yet it ripped my heart in half. And then he says, right after the last verse, he says that I'm living in a foreign country and I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge. Someday I'll make it mine. And he says this. So, it's like my family challenged me to be a better man and broke my heart in a way that showed me to the truth, to God. And so I just, I hope that the music moves people and they hear that they're not alone. Because so many people feel that they're the only ones that feel this or only ones that...
I think we all do.
Yeah, and we're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, if we be really honest and straightforward, and sure, it's, you know, there's laughter and there's great fun with family. I mean, my kids are funny, you know, and my wife is funny, and they tease me and they, you know, they get on my case, you know, and it's wonderful. It's beautiful, but it's also challenging.
Who are your favorites when you think of those songwriters that have, if you could give me...
John Prine.
Yeah.
As far as pure songwriting, he just three chords, the truth, and here you are. Uh-huh. You know, you can't write like that without being in touch. And the other one, Tom Waits, had a big just to be not be afraid, and Bob Dylan, of course.
Yeah.
Not be afraid to be obscure. Don't try to write a hit. Just be honest. So what? I'm obscure. There's a lot of my lyrics are obscure, but they're honest, and I think that if somebody sits down and listens to them, that hopefully they'll like it, you know. But there was a lot of pain writing. You know, I wrote a song called "The Addict," and you've. Well aware, I told you that story, but that song, you know, I lived it, you know, and you came out of that, and I'm lucky to be here. I'm thankful for every single moment that I have with my family.
And just like the rest of us, we come to realize we're not alone.
No.
And unfortunately, we see too much of the isolationism, I think. And we miss out on those genuine moments where someone can just, by being in the same room at the same time, say, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And your music, for me, does that.
Thank you.
It does.
Thank you.
And I think it does for a lot of us. Yeah. And we're privileged to have you. We've got one more song for you to do for us. Folks, this is called A Woman Like You.
Which I wrote for my wife.
Which is a Drew Tillman original that you wrote for Amelia.
Yeah.
And we're going to close out the show with that performance. Drew.
Thanks for having me.
This doesn't happen often enough. I know you've got an album that's going to drop here, hopefully later this year.
We're recording it.
And we'll save that for the next time you can be with us, and we'll learn all about what's happening with that. And folks, I will tell you just this little sneak peek that this is a major undertaking, and Drew will have lots of goodies to bring back with him when that work is completed. So God bless you in that.
Thanks
for being here.
Thanks for having
folks me. Let's take a listen to this wonderful song. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, by the way, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's only all original, all local, all the time radio station around the world, and we are privileged to be able to bring it to you. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, so let's take this moment. We'll listen to A Woman Like You, Drew Tillman. Folks, thanks for being with me. And Drew, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Behind it all, remains of fear that stalk the mind, veil the heart like a one-way mirror. And the reasons are questioned, and I question them well.
see the lies, live the lies I tell myself. Is it strength or weakness makes you crazy? More and more I think that maybe we search for answers without any clue. Is it up or down with a woman like you? Will you follow your instincts and you cross your T's? Well, you're out a lot, it's never done. Make her feel at ease, and with all your might, will you make it through? Odds are even you'll think it's weakness with a woman like you. But if what you see is what you get, it's how I made it through this mess. And what's right to me, what you thought you knew. Yes, is it up or down with a woman like you? Up or down with a woman like you? With all your strength and might, never really right. I'm just trying to get through with a woman like you. Woman like you. With a woman like you. Just like you. Your instincts. Well, there are two sides to truth. Does your heart reveal? Do I cut a deal with a woman like you? Does your heart reveal? Do I cut a deal with a woman like you? I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to get through with a woman like you. Just like you. Oh yeah. Slides into second.